This is Randy Thurston with Pueblo River Walk Talk. I'm here with J.C. Davis, who is a life coach and a good friend of mine. We go back for years and years. J.C. is a life coach. He's a ski instructor in Breckenridge, travels the world and creates massive opportunities wherever he goes. And he just dropped by to go for a walk, and I said, hey, let's do an interview. And as J.C. always is cool.
Okay, so I didn't know we were doing an interview until I got right in here. But yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah. Well, the fact that when we do our walks, we do a lot of talking and we solve the problems of the world, or we think we do.
Well, at least the problems in our own world anyway.
Well, and that seems to be the only world that we really deal with, right?
It's the one that's most apparent to both of us, I'd say, yes.
And just recently, as in today, you came back from Breckenridge.
Yeah, just getting back from being up teaching skiing for a few days and then also doing some clinicking with some other coaches.
So what's the ski industry doing today, especially here in Colorado?
Well, the ski industry there is a lot like everything else in Colorado. We're all adjusting and dealing with the COVID outlines that we have to. Basically, they're... everybody that works in the ski industry has to do a health test every morning, which you call in before you go to work and basically acknowledge the fact that you've taken your own temperature and gone through the basic things and said, no, I haven't contacted anybody that's had COVID. And if you do, they've been pretty great about saying, well, if you know you've been in contact with somebody, then, you know, stay home. Actually, if you stay home more than 3 days, I think they actually do pay you. So that's been a little bit different, wearing mask the entire time that you're on the job. Is not one of my favorite things. It's hard to articulate through a mask. And so that's kind of interesting. But for the most part, people are just really glad to be able to get out and enjoy the outdoors. And so we've been busy.
Well, it seems to have created a new energy about being in the outdoors with having been locked down for such a long time, whether it's in the water sports or the ski sports. Are you seeing a lot of increasing of people coming in versus pre-COVID?
Well, we're seeing it differently because of people working from home. They're not stuck to being up on just the weekends or coming in for a week during the normal times. Matter of fact, we've got people that are renting houses and working from home in Breckenridge and then skiing every day. So, you know, the people are making, adapting the world as they need to and can to have it a better life, which I think is great.
Well, you know, you bring a really great point because I see here in Colorado, specifically here in Pueblo, being a huge winner because of COVID. Because if I lived in New York, and as we have people that will be viewing this from different areas, whether it's a big city, why be there when you can be in Colorado, be in a community like Pueblo, be up in Breckenridge, mm-hmm. and have the full efficiencies of doing whatever you would be doing back in your office without the rat race, without the pollution, without the travel time, with all those things that seem to really take away from quality of life?
Well, you know, I caught a deal the other day that was talking about people that are having to now re-enter into the workforce after being off for COVID or working from home because of COVID. And, some of the people have come to realize, wow, you know, I actually kind of enjoyed hanging out with my family as much as I did. And so they're having the opportunity to go, I don't know if I want to go back to the office. And I think it will ultimately change the workplace as we used to know it. And we'll find new opportunities for people to work in the world and why live someplace if you don't have to go into the office every day? Why not live someplace that's great instead of living someplace that's very congested and, like that.
Well, even what we're doing right now, JC, is kind of an interesting thing. The timing of COVID couldn't have been better. I mean, it's a bad thing, but if it happened 10 years ago, we wouldn't have the technology for us to be doing what we're doing. The fact now that technology is there and advancing at high levels, really will make it conducive for this to be a lifestyle, a way of doing business in the future, where going back to the old way, now it's going to be like going back to, you know, horse and buggy.
Well, I see that the, you know, everywhere in the tech world, things are improving. Apps are out there allowing people to do more things online. Of course, the facilitation and updating of software so that people can use software from anywhere is definitely showing up out there in the world. And it shows up in the simplest places. I mean, to do a DocuSign was something that's been around for, you know, I don't know, 15 years or so. But the fact that people are using it so broadly now, you don't even have to show up at a closing. You just do all your DocuSigns and as you know, and show up wherever you need to show up.
Well, and what's interesting is the old way of showing up and doing it by signing in front of somebody really is frowned on. It's like, you're wasting our time, or why? Let's just sign something, send it to the cloud, tie in all the documents that we need to with the affiliations of what we need to, mm-hmm. and it's there forever, and I don't even need to run a copy off for you.
Right, which is different.
It's different.
I think all of it's going, I think, you know, like I said, I believe that there's opportunity out there in the world that's never been there before. And it'll be interesting to see what the next couple of years look like. And one of my friends was saying he thinks that we're at a pivotal point for the human race, because this is ultimately going to change the way we operate in the world, not just here in the United States, but everywhere. So it'll be interesting.
Well, you know, we're talking about the technology, but there's another really deep facet of this, and that's the humanism part. And the fact that you're a life coach and you deal with people from all over the world at high levels of stress and issues, problems, challenges that come together, that can't be handled with technology. But how is that all happening in your world now, JC, with the people you're dealing with on a coaching basis, with how they're dealing with things on a personal level?
Well, I think the biggest thing I've seen most recently since the COVID is that most of the people just need people to talk to. I mean, ultimately, I think that people have been isolated so much that they are missing out on that human interaction. And so, you know, sometimes I've literally had clients call me up and say, hey, you got 10 minutes to talk? I'm like, sure, why not? If that's what you want. As far as issues that are showing up, I think a lot of the issues are stemming just from that, isolation. I think that as the human creature, we really need to have interaction on a regular basis. And when we don't, we start to run scenarios in our mind. Most of the time, it kind of falls into what Mark Twain wrote in the end of his life, which was, I'm an old, old man who's had many, many terrible things happen, most of which never really happened. And I think that's what's happening for people that are being isolated, perhaps too much.
Breeding grounds for stories that create pain and misery that never needed to exist if you would have had more control over your thoughts.
I would say that's absolutely true. And it's just that you start to run scenarios in our thoughts, and because we don't have somebody to bounce those off of, then we go deeper than we really need to. Did I leave the stove on? I gotta go. I'll be right back.
Right. And how many times do you leave the stove on? Very rarely. Maybe one out of a thousand times that you think you might have. Right.
Right. Right. As a matter of fact, I would say I've almost never done it. But I mean, whatever it is, there's, you know, did I forget to put the mail in the mailbox? Did I? It can be very simple things, but those simple things, like I said, because of us being isolated, we start to turn those simple things into stories.
Well, and it's easy to do once you go down that rabbit hole. And one story feeds another story that feeds another story. Before you know it, it's pure misery.
Sure.
It's pure hell. And like all of the worst case scenarios of how bad it could possibly be, your mind has that capacity of going to that level. And all of the great opportunities, all of the things that could have been looked at differently that would have created a different emotional, which is a chemical creation within your body that impacts our physical state, we're going down the rabbit hole deep.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so a lot of what I would say to people that are feeling those ways, watch comedy. You know, watch something that makes you laugh. Watch something that makes you smile. Go for a walk. Get outdoors. Actually, take time to stop in and say hello to somebody you haven't seen for a while. Of course, call ahead now because of the what's going on out there in the world. But I think it's important to take time to have those types of interactions. To take time to call old friends and find yourself a non-quiet way of being.
Well, you know, as you say this, JC, one thing that exists as a human, we all have certain levels of physical strength and health, mm-hmm. and we all have levels of mental health and strength. Mm-hmm. Nobody is 100% perfect on either one of them. And I know recently, there was a doctor that I had to get a hold of you that it's actually, I don't want to say prescribed to doctors, but doctors are recommended to seek out a life coach. And I think in that it's just because they need to be at the top of their game, mm-hmm. and they see the value of having this conversation with the right person that can help you get to stronger mental strength. Not saying that you're mentally unstable, it's just that there's always room for improvement.
Yeah, and almost all large corporations at this point in the game have a certain amount of life coaching, or they have event and team building programs, and they do that because they want their executives, they want their team leaders to be on top of their game, and they want their personal lives to be working, which then allows them to be more effective in the job, in the workspace, and to come up with ideas that they might not have normally come up with.
Well, it is something, it's good that people are making that realization. So just like with physical trainers, life coaches is the same alternative there. And I really see the value, even though we have our conversations in a friendship mode, I've never ended a walking session with you that I didn't feel 1,000% better in my outlook on life. Therefore, the whole day or the whole week or the whole year, my whole life doesn't have a vibration that creates more of a benefit than anything else.
Yeah, that's good. That's awesome, Randy. I'd say I feel very much the same, and it's fun to have taken some of the ideas that we've created in some of our walks and taken those into lectures and being able to share those ideas with other people. Especially the one that we created, which was What's in Your Closet.
I love that one.
Yeah.
That was, what, 15, 20 years ago?
That is.
I always said 15, but that was 5 years ago. We talked about it being 15 years ago.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that. Yeah, long before city council and a lot of the different things that we both had going on in our life that we were out talking one fall morning, as I recall. And you know, it's that whole idea of what's in your closet, like what do we hold on to that we don't really need? And even as, especially maybe in this time, what are the things that people are holding on to that they don't really need? And, you know, it's that old pair of blue jeans you keep around just in case you decide to paint your house.
Yeah.
It's that one, you know, suit that you've kept that just in case.
Well, the just in case ties in what's in your closet.
Right, absolutely.
The just in case is why we hold on to stuff we really don't need.
Right.
That just in case, I mean, if you look at a storage unit that you spend $100 or $200 a month to hold on to all this stuff just in case, and then you go back 10 years later and it's covered with dust, and how many of those things did you ever get out?
Yeah. How many of those items could you walk away from? And I think that's actually why a lot of storage units go up for auction and go, you know, into these things, because eventually people just forget about it.
Right.
You know, but one of the strongest things that came out of what's in your closet that so many people have given me good feedback on is that when you start to look at what you mentally hold on to, you know, it's that, usually it's those things that we use to beat up on ourselves. And those are the things that most of the people have come back to me and said, yeah, I finally realized I was holding on to what my cousin's aunt said about me that one time, and you know, it made me feel bad, but I keep holding on to it so I can keep feeling bad.
That's it. And keep reminding that it must be real because she said it.
That's right. Yeah. Somebody else. It wasn't me. Somebody else actually said it. Yeah.
So, and obviously they know you better than yourself, right?
Yeah. They can totally see it all. I know they can.
Yeah. Well, you know, those concepts are so important, but until you have this awareness in these conversations, you really don't realize that subconsciously you do this constantly with the things you hold on to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Once that awareness becomes to your surface, then you can start actually shipping them out. Or if it does show up, the question is, how long do I want to let it beat me up? You know, is it 10 seconds? Is it 2 years? Mm-hmm. I'm getting to the point that I let it go for about 2 seconds now.
Yeah, well, that's probably 1 second longer than me too.
But yeah. We're not perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and we don't want to be. That would be an odd thing. Somebody said, "What's the best advice you can give somebody in the COVID factor?" And is that all things in moderation, including moderation.
Right.
You know, I think that we have to look at the whole picture and go, yeah, that's important, but to what point? And, you know, what am I going to take away from it? What does it mean to me? And how much am I going to limit my life because everybody else wants to limit theirs?
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, somebody that you know personally, and I don't, I've seen his tapes and his books, is Anthony Robbins.
Yeah.
And
well, when you say personally, I mean we've had some conversations over the years.
But you've had one-on-one conversations with him, and he's actually listened to you there.
So. Well, yeah. Very true. Yeah, yeah. But I haven't. It's not like he's somebody I call up and have great conversations with. But
not like you and I do.
No. Yeah. Just to be clear.
But one of the things that I've always gotten from Tony Robbins is the quality of your life depends on the quality of questions you ask yourself. And that one stuck with me years ago. And I see people, including myself, sometimes get into a rut and we say, you know, what's wrong with me? Nothing ever works out. You know, this is going on, this is going on. And your brain is an interesting entity where it will answer whatever question you ask it. So when you say, what's wrong with me, it will tell you.
It's going to tell you that, yeah, you're right. There's something wrong.
And I can give you point on point what's wrong because you asked the question. But what if you made one tweak in life and just asked a question, what's right with me?
Yeah, it's a great point. And it's something that I've taken on for many years now. Most of the time I like to talk to my clients on the ski lift. And one of the first questions I tend to ask them when we get on the lift was, what did you like about that run? In other words, what did you like about what you learned, or what did you like about how you performed? But what did you like about it? Because there's plenty not to like.
Right.
You know, I didn't make that one turn. I didn't feel good. I didn't.
That darn tree was right in front of
me. That tree was in front of me. That person, that one guy cut me off, man. That one guy totally cut me off. So, but you, if you start asking questions like that, then you start to find answers that are at least semi-positive, you know, because it is something you like, not something you disliked.
And you're in control, once you're aware of that, of what you ask yourself. So you can constantly be coaching yourself with the right energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you think about it, if you look at what's bad in your life and that's all you focus on, then what you're going to get more of is what's bad in your life. If you focus on the fact that it's a beautiful day out, that you woke up in the first place, you know, there's so many things you can focus on if you want to that are so positive that then you start to build on the positive aspect and not the negative aspect of it. And I think if you can do that, I think that you start to, your quality of life goes up considerably.
Considerably. Yeah. And as a result, your energy goes up, and therefore your quality of life goes up even more.
Even more, yeah.
And one of the secrets that I've always learned is no matter what the day was like, at night is to have 10 or 15 things to be have gratitude for.
Sure, and you hear a lot of couples talking about some concepts that have been out there for a while, which is never go to bed angry, always discuss things. But, you know, that's something you can actually use on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't go to bed upset.
Upset at yourself.
Upset at yourself, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and don't step over something. Very landmark concept.
Right. I understand.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, those are things that if you take time before you go to sleep, odds are you'll actually let go of that energy. So maybe you actually get a better night's rest. And more we keep finding out that having a good night's rest, somewhere between 6 and 8 hours, is actually incredibly beneficial to you. So I think it's so important to have those conversations with yourself.
Well, you know, the good night's sleep is where all the healing takes place. And if you want to heal yourself, let it happen while you're sleeping. So get some sleep.
Well, it's when our body actually takes time to rebuild itself, literally. You know, we talk about that in 7 years, your body's completely rebuilt itself.
Right.
Well, if you've had 7 years of hating yourself and beating up on yourself, the body you may have is not necessarily the body you could have.
Could be a little bit angry, low energy, low frequency, bitter.
Even the quality of your structure starts to change. When you're active and you're constantly moving and working out or exercising, your bones are stronger because as tendons tend to pull against bones, they actually make the structure stronger. And it's a lot like that, as in if you are sitting there beating up on yourself, that you're going to have a less solid structure because you've put more negative information in than positive.
It's pretty amazing the way this physical body works, isn't it? We could go on forever, but what I'd like to say, JC, is to give your information, how do people get a hold of you from the coaching?
Yeah, so JC Davis, you can contact me either through Facebook, which would be Pathworks Life, and also I have an email, which is pathworkslife@yahoo.com. Feel free to contact me either way.
Okay, JC, thank you so much for joining this unprepared conversation. Isn't this the best conversation
ever? Sure. Absolutely, always. I don't mind.
Okay, thank you.